Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
Has he ever lifted you? Has he ever lifted you? Hallelujah. Thank you for lifting me, God. Thank you for lifting me, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
You are my
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Yes, you are.
Strength like
come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise. God is our strength, strength like no other. And reaches to us. Glory to God. It is a blessing to greet you this morning, my brothers and my sisters, as we continue in our series called Getting Past Your Past. A series called Getting Past Your Past. We've been blessed to look at how it is that God can give us a fresh start even when we have messed up. How it is that God can rekindle us, and that when we become in Christ, old things are passed away and behold, all things have become new. Thank God for fresh starts. We also look at missing a bad thing. What do you do when you miss a bad thing? You know, I broke up with him. God delivered me from him. But, you know, it's been 3 years and, Lord, I miss a bad thing. You know, you used to be in the club and all of a sudden you got grown. You got your own little place. And now you start to miss what God had delivered you from. How do you handle it? To miss a bad thing. I talked about making sure that your history does not rob you of your destiny. So today we're going to close out this particular series with a passage that I think is helpful for us in this day and in this season. Will you do me a favor, my brothers and my sisters? Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter number 31. Jeremiah chapter number 31. We're going to be looking at verse number 13. Jeremiah chapter number 31, verse number 13 through 17. When you found it, we invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's word. It's our custom to show our value for God's word. Jeremiah chapter number 31, beginning with verse number 13. When you've got it, say amen. Okay, let's try this one more time. When you've got it, say amen. All right, let's try. I want y'all to be a little bit more enthused when reading the word of God. So try this one more time. When you got it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, there we go. That's better. There we go. Jeremiah chapter number 31, beginning with verse number 13, reading down to verse number 17. Here's what it says. Then the virgin will rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them and give them joy for their sorrow. I will fill the soul of the priests with abundance, and my people will be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord. And they will return from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord. And your children return to their own territory.
This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. Do me a favor, put the smile back on your face. Smile. I'm just glad he woke me up this morning. Smile on your face. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Let's regroup. Look back at me again. Okay, let's go. Let's try this again. A smile on your face, enthusiasm in your voice, like you're just glad that the Lord has saved you. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, good morning. Good to see you. Glad you're in church. This morning's sermon is When the Tears Stop. Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. Same smile on your face and say, neighbor, good morning. Good to see you. So glad you're in church. This morning's sermon is When the Tears Stop. Amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. That these your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prayed, but I need your power. I have prepared, but I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silent now, I wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit divine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're dealing with getting past your past. And share with us that we talked about how it is that God can give us a fresh start from our own mess ups, getting past your past. I talked about how to make sure that we don't allow our history to destroy us from reaching to our destiny. So let's not go back to what God has delivered us from. And in a very real sense, my brothers and my sisters, those sermons for us are easier than today's sermon. Because there are some parts of our past that we don't mind talking about. You know, the Lord just delivered you from bad relationships. The Lord then delivered you from debt. You'll go to church and you'll shout about that. Yes, he brought me out. There are some things that's more difficult. There are some things that even to hear about it is painful for you. I don't want to talk about this experience in my life. As a matter of fact, I try to forget it even happened to me. Become numb to it. I can remember, I have, for those who don't know, I wear a little suit now, but I've got a tattoo on my sleeve, like a half sleeve tattoo. I'm an alpha, so I was trying to show how proud I was to be an alpha. So I went and got this tattoo. Now, this tattoo took about 4 hours. Those who have never gotten a tattoo, let me help you to understand what this process is a little bit like. There's a needle that they're going to be jabbing into your body multiple times. And it's going to put ink inside your skin that was not there before. It is not a comfortable experience. I'm going to be doing this multiple hours. As a matter of fact, it took so long, the guy had to take a break. He had to go take a lunch break while tattooing my arm. But what's interesting is this, my brothers and my sisters. When I first sat down, remember him, he drew it all out, and I could hear the little buzzing of the needle as he was getting ready to start. And he began to do his work, and it hurt. It was uncomfortable. It was painful. But the more I experienced the pain, the less I felt it. I had become numb to it. So much so that I could watch him do the work and feel nothing. The pain should have still been there because he wasn't doing anything different. But now I've experienced it for so long that it doesn't even hurt me anymore. My brothers and my sisters, the reality is some of us have experienced some difficulties in life that have been so traumatic that you've become numb to it. You see it now and it doesn't even bother you anymore. There's an aspect, my brothers and my sisters, of getting past our past that many of us don't want to discuss because we've become numb to the pain of what we've experienced. There are some things that have happened in our past that we are so disturbed by that the mere mention of it makes us uncomfortable. It's unnerving to confront the hate you feel for your ex, even though you don't love your child as you should. And I don't want to talk about that. While you are married now, you've still been dealing with the pain that you experienced as a child when somebody took advantage of you. Love your husband, but I just can't seem to get over this. You're an adult now, but you miss the years that you did not have with your dad, and you just try to hold it all together as if you are perfect, because I don't want to talk about that painful experience. Some parts of our past, my brothers and my sisters, that we build walls around because it's too uncomfortable to talk about. There are some things that are too painful to bear, so you become numb to it. Now, if you're already listening, you're already tuned in, this ain't one of them sermons that's going to help you run around the church, but it's going to help you get free. So I don't want you to stay tuned in. There are some things, my brothers and my sisters, that are so painful that we become numb to it. Some of us don't even want to watch the news right now because the pain of seeing another black man killed at the hand of bad cops, we'd just rather turn it off and become numb to it. Today's text will help us understand how to get past our painful experiences and how God can replace our tears with joy. Here we are, book of Jeremiah, considered to be one of the major prophets in our Bible, along with Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Jeremiah was the son of a priest. I say he was the son of a preacher. Jeremiah's father, Hilkiah, was one of the Levitical priests. He grew up around priests. As a matter of fact, his family line dates all the way back to the first priest, Aaron. He knew church. But when God called him, he called him to do some things a little different. The book of Jeremiah opens up with God calling him to speak to the people. And Jeremiah says, but God, I'm too young for that. God, they won't listen to me. God says, listen, Jeremiah, I knew how old you were when I called you. As a matter of fact, I knew who you were and what you would be before I formed you in your mother's womb. And I had already ordained you to be my prophet. Jeremiah begins to preach. And for 20 chapters, he's trying to get the people in Judah to repent and turn back to God or face judgment. My brothers and my sisters, anytime you experience a traumatic experience, anytime you experience something painful in your past, one of the questions you really got to wrestle with is, how did I get here? It's my first point, my brothers and my sisters, the people have to really wrestle with the question of, how did we get here? Their problem was that they knew how to be religious, but they didn't put God first in their lives. They were embracing other religions and other gods. They were being led further away from Yahweh, and they were placing other gods before him. The same is true today. There are so many people who know how to do church but refuse to put God first in their daily lives. God, I will give you Sunday morning between 10 and 12, and that is it. I've got a game to catch. I've got tickets to the concert. My new show came on Netflix, and I got to watch the whole series. We begin to put so many other things in front of God when God wants to be first in our lives. And that's what the people of Judah messed up. They began to put other things before God. And it wasn't just those decisions that turned the people from God. The problem was also that the leaders in the nation refused to repent. It got so bad, brothers and sisters, that in chapter number 11 and chapter number 18, they didn't even want to hear Jeremiah telling them, you're wrong, repent. They got so mad that they plotted to kill him. They wanted to shut him up because they wanted to live how they wanted to live. They wanted to do their own thing. They did not want to hear about their sin and the pain that it was causing everyone else. Sometimes we suffer because of our own decisions. At other times, we suffer and experience pain because we live in a sinful society. Sometimes we suffer hurt and agony and grief because we are part of a sick system. That's what the people in Judah were. It gets so bad that Jeremiah would often break out crying, so much so that he gets nicknamed the Weeping Prophet. They don't want to listen, and they are judged. The Babylonians came in and destroyed everything, killed many of them, women and children. Some people were carried off into exile. They were used to seeing bodies of their loved ones lying dead in the streets of Judah. They were used to hearing the screams of a mother or a wife as their son or husband's blood stained the ground. They were used to seeing the tears of children because daddy was not coming home again. Chapter 30, God says, I can hear cries of fear and horror. There is no peace. It's like you have an incurable wound. It's like an injury that will not heal. This sounds much like the cries that we hear in the streets of Charlotte, the cries that we hear in the streets of Tulsa, the cries that we hear in the streets of Baton Rouge, the cries that we hear in the streets of St. Paul, Minnesota, and the list can go on, but not just that. The same cries that we hear in Chicago, the same cries that we hear in Cleveland and many other inner cities as loved ones are gone to gun violence. Question has to be asked. How do we handle the post-traumatic experiences of our lives? How do we handle the daily ongoing traumatic syndrome of our lives? Preacher, I know I've lived it. I've already been hurt, but how? How do I handle it? How do I handle it when I just get on Facebook and I see more news that hurts me? I live it. How do I handle it? The text raises a major question of how to handle the pain of your past and not to let it destroy you. One of my favorite authors, Jane Baldwin, put it this way: to be black in this country and to be relatively conscious is to always be in a state of rage. Jeremiah saying that the people had a painful experience and he wanted to make sure that they didn't allow their experiences to destroy them. So he tells us how to handle the grief. How to handle the grief. This lady, I'm gonna give her a different name to protect those that may be guilty. Her name is Keisha. At this point in time, it would have been gin and juice for Keisha. This is how she lived. She went to the club, and she met this dude, and he was tall, dark, and handsome, much like me. And so, wasn't that funny? So she met this dude, right? It was her Idris. It was, you know, she just thought, we good to go. And the guy was just trying to find love in the club. He just wanted somebody for the night. So he started dating her, and he made it sound like everything was going to be good for them. Like, yeah, we're going to be together. I'm going to be here for you. And it sounded like I'm better than the last dude, and it sounded good to her. Well, it got so good that one night they said, you know what? Let's practice husband and wife. Let's play house. And well, Keisha got pregnant. Now they don't have to play house no more because Keisha got a baby. She got a baby. She told him she was pregnant. God looked at her and said, that ain't my baby. She said, I've been with nobody but you. He said, that ain't my baby. I don't want nothing to do with it. And he called her all kinds of names. I know your reputation in the city. And she breaks down crying in tears. God leaves and wants nothing to do with the child. Keisha said, I'm just going to raise it by myself. Child gets a little older and he looks like his dad. Every time she sees him, she sees what she experienced with that man who called her all kinds of names, what she experienced when he told her she was no good. Every time she looks at her baby, she sees the pain of her past, and rather than expressing it before God, she begins to express her anger towards her child. She just neglects him because Keisha did not know how to handle the grief of her past. My brothers and my sisters, Keisha's story is not unlike many of our stories. Maybe it's not because somebody left you with a child alone, but maybe it's because of what you've experienced. You've just bottled it up for so long. Every time you see Uncle So-and-so, every time you see Aunt So-and-so, you act like you got it all together, but you've got the grief and the pain pent up inside of you, and you've never let it go. You're always in a fit of rage, and it's just contained in your body. Jeremiah Chapter 9, verse 1 puts it like this. Jeremiah starts talking to God, and Jeremiah says, God, it's so much for me. It's so bad for me. He says, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes were a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. There were those who just wanted to cry all day to get past their grief. There are those who say, crying ain't for me. I ain't that. I'm bigger than that. I'm better than that. So you get angry. After you get angry for a while, you say, you know what? I'm not going to stay angry that long. I'm now bitter. So much so that I'm ready to destroy stuff and people in the process. To be sure, there are so many who would simply try to hide from the pain of their past, but then there are others who will become numb to it. I will act like it didn't happen to me. Verse 15 says, a voice is heard in Ramah. Lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. And then it says, she refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. The grief they had experienced was so much that they didn't even want to get rid of it. It had become their identity. The pain that they had experienced had become so a part of them that they refused to be comforted. The grief they experience here is expressed by talking about the cries of Rachel. Y'all don't know who Rachel is, so let me help you understand who she is. Rachel had been barren. She was married to Jacob, and she didn't give him a child. So she prayed, God, give me a child or I will die. My sister makes fun of me. She keeps popping out babies. Everybody in town is laughing at me. God, give me a child or I'll die. God blesses her, and she has her first child. His name is Joseph. You know the dude with the coat of many colors. She has her first child, but then she has another little baby boy. Her little baby boy named Benjamin. She was in labor and gave birth to him, and she died. It took her death to give birth to this child. But then we hear in the text that you can hear the cries of Rachel, who had already died back in Genesis. It's as if she sees the pain and she begins to cry out even from the grave because of what her people are experiencing. We can see how she handles the grief. My brothers and my sisters, there are some ways where people handle grief and you just cry out. Other people handle grief where you punch people or punch things, but none of those how we as Christians ought to respond to the grief we experience. None of those are how we as Christians ought to respond to the pain of our past. As believers, we ought to do what Psalm says in Psalm number 73, verses 16 and 17. When I tried to understand it and I could not figure it out, I went to the church and I realized that God's ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. I began to see a little clearer because God was still in control. We ought to be like the writer of Hebrews who says, bring our tears and our prayers to God because he is the only one who can save us. And even when we face injustice, we ought to do what Job did. In Job chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, we ought to cry out to God because of our grief and still not sin. I know they hurt you. I know they wronged you, and I know you feel justified in your response, but is that how Christians ought to respond to the pain of their past? If you'd allow your mind to go back down memory lane, some people who have hurt you, some injustices that you have experienced, how have you handled it? Have you had a response that glorifies God, or did you simply respond based on your flesh? God says to them, I want to comfort you, but you've got to be willing to let me. While the pain is real, while the scare of your experience and the scar of your experience is real, while the wounds are still unhealed, God tells them he's able to restore their cities and to give them joy again. God tells them that while the pain is real, while the lament is real, while it seems like the wounds cannot be healed, God sends Jeremiah with the word to let them know that he can make the tears stop. He can replace the sadness with joy. I'm out of your way when I give you this last point, my brothers and my sisters. How can God turn tears to joy? And I'm out your way. God says, stop weeping. Dry your eyes. I've got you covered. I've come to bring you hope. God sends Jeremiah to let them know, while it looks bad right now, while you are hurting right now, while the tears are flowing now, trouble won't last always. It's been a long time coming, but I want you to know that a change will come. God wants them to know that he's able to turn their mourning into joy. He's able to wipe every tear away. That same thing is true for you and me today. God can deal with your painful experiences. God can deal with your painful past as long as you're willing to give it over to him and say, God, I cannot handle it, but rather I will give it to you and believe that you're able to turn my tears into joy. Yeah. I can hear Bishop Martin singing, I'm from New Orleans. He would sing a song and simply says, your tears are just temporary release. Your tears are release of the pain and the sorrow. But it won't be long before God is able to wipe every tear away. My brothers and my sisters, God wants you to know that there is hope, there is joy, and he sends it to us in one name, Jesus Christ. Jesus showed up not because we were perfect. Jesus showed up not because we had it all together, but Jesus showed up because of your tears and my tears, because of the pain that we have experienced, because of the grip of sin on our lives. And he said, I don't want them to experience that pain anymore, so I will show up in history to make sure that they can let go of the pain in their destiny. God wants you to know that he sent Jesus Christ to wipe every tear away as long as you're willing to let him. Sometimes we hold on to the grief. We don't let it go. It's a painful sermon. It's a painful experience because some of the things we've gone through, we can't tell anybody. You've been married for 22 years, but you've never told your spouse what happened. You've been working on the same job for X amount of years, but you never told your boss how you felt because you just held on to it. My brothers and my sisters, God wants you to know that he sees your tears. He hears your cries. God wants you to know he knows what you've experienced, and your experiences are not too much for him to handle. God is able to make the tears stop. Let's go before God in prayer. Lord God, we thank you. Thank you for being a God who we don't have to hide our pain from. Thank you for being a God who we don't have to hide our grief from. Thank you for being one that cares so much about us, Lord God, that you're able to wipe all of our tears away. I pray right now, Lord God, for every single person under the sound of my voice who does not know you in the pardoning of sin, who's never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. There's somebody here right now, Lord God, they didn't know why you sent them to Uplift Church today. They've been gripped with the pain of their past. It's held them back from going to what you have for them. It's limited them. And this is a sermon, Lord God, that somebody needed to hear, because you want them to know that you're able to deal with the grief. You're able to deal with the pain. You're able to deal with the loss and to wipe their tears away. Pray right now, Lord God, for somebody who's never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. For somebody who's even become numb to their sins. They act as if they're not there anymore. I pray now, Lord God, that you would draw them closer to you, that you would wipe away the stain of their sin, that you would wipe away the pain of their past. Somebody will come saying, what must I do to be saved? But this is indeed our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen and amen. As we stand all over the sanctuary, brothers and sisters, today's sermon deals with the fact that as long as we live this human experience, we're going to have some difficulties. We're going to experience some pain and some grief. We're going to go through some trials that we never want to even talk about. We're going to go through some things that make us cry late in the midnight hour. But one thing we need to know, my brothers and my sisters, is this, that we serve a God that's not just there for us to give us stuff. We serve a God that's able to comfort us in our most difficult moments. Serve one who says, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. When you've got grief, when you've got pain and you don't know how to handle it, God says, come on, bring it to me. When you've gone through traumatic experiences and you don't know what to do, God says, come on, bring it to me. I'll wipe your tears away. I will replace your tears with joy. God, in essence, says to you, yes, I know weeping may endure for the night, but when you come to me, there is joy in the morning. My brother, my sister, maybe you're here right now and you never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You've been holding on to all the experiences. You've been holding on to all the pain, and you just tried to be strong enough. You just tried to be man enough. You just tried to be woman enough, and it's killing you on the inside. He says, come on to me. I want to wipe your tears away. Yeah, my brother, my sister, you've never accepted the fact that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross to save you. We invite you today to make a confession of faith in Jesus Christ. Here at Uplift, we make it very easy for you. You don't even have to walk down right now to give me your hand. You can stand right where you are and pray a collective prayer with us. Simply say these words. Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I've fallen short. I admit that I've messed up, but I accept that you sent Jesus to die for me. I accept that you raised him on the third day to save me. And because of that, I am saved. I am saved. I am saved in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise, because somebody may have made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as their personal